Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the UI Breakfast Podcast. I'm your host, Jane Portman, and today our amazing guest is Patrick Campbell, co-founder and CEO of ProfitWell, formerly Price Intelligently, and we're going to talk about SaaS pricing. This episode is brought to you by Abstract, a design workflow management tool. It empowers product design teams and stakeholders to seamlessly manage, version, and collaborate on design files, like GitHub, but for designers. Sign your team up for a free 30-day trial today by heading over to goabstract.com. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, what's going on? Let's jump in. I'm excited to chat.
We are so excited to have you. It's been years since we've been trying to schedule this, right? You're busy, so busy.
I know. It's been all over the place. Yeah. Hopefully it was I didn't stand you up at all. Hopefully it was just going back and forth here.
Absolutely. So you've been shipping some pretty amazing content there at ProfitWell. So tell us more about that and ProfitWell in general and a little bit of your life story too.
Yeah, those are three very broad questions.
So right,
hopefully
right.
hopefully I won't talk for a whole hour here. But no, so I think we are most fascinated by kind of empowering subscription companies. So we help subscription companies basically get the most out of their business by focusing on giving them free financial metrics. So you can plug into ProfitWell metrics using your billing system, Stripe, Zora, Braintree, whatever you're using, and basically get access to your MRR, your churn, all of the numbers that you need. And we give that away for free because essentially what that allows us to do is show you where there are problems in your business. And then based on those problems, you can either solve them yourself, and we have some content that helps you solve those, or we'll sell products like Price Intelligently or Retain to help you with your pricing or your churn. And we have a couple of other products there. And it was not the business exactly when we started. We were always really fascinated by the who and understanding growth at a very, very atomic level. And so we started off actually in the pricing space. That's why we changed our name from Price Intelligently to ProfitWell. And basically we were the ones behind some of the best, subscription pricing models out there. And as we continued to grow and as we continued to kind of move forward, we started to notice, and I can go deeper into the story if you'd like, but we just started to notice a bigger problem and more solutions that we could build. And that's why we kind of expanded the business beyond Price Intelligently to ProfitWell, because, ProfitWell, it's a little bit more ambiguous than Price Intelligently, which, you associate more with pricing. To kind of take a step back, my personal background is in econometrics and math. I started my career, I worked in the US intelligence community, and then I worked in at Google doing econ modeling. And then, right before starting Price Intelligently, now ProfitWell, I did some pricing work, or it was more of like a strategic initiatives person at a local startup. And that's where I kind of discovered pricing, because that's when I worked on pricing at the first, from the first outset, and then jumped into Price Intel. And I guess I already told that short version of the story. But yeah, that's kind of the answers to your questions. And I would say content is like super important to us, because we really, really feel like education is kind of the silver bullet when it comes to our leads, as well as our brand and just everything in between. And so we really try to set a really high bar on what's acceptable in terms of our content and things like that.
That's a fascinating story. So how many years has it been since you've been full on into pricing?
So we've been around for 6 years. Just under 6 years actually. And we ProfitWell in as of itself has been around for about 4 years. And it's all one company. So that's like a big misconception. And it's our fault that there's that misconception, because we kind of started them not separately, but under different domains, because we weren't really sure what was going to, happen with ProfitWell. So we've been around for 6 years working on pricing, and we always will have some pricing product. And that product has just gotten better and better and better over the years.
That's awesome. By the way, I do myself UI UX design, and I've just recently received reference from one of my clients that they want to their dashboard to look exactly like Profit Belt because that's like the only dashboard they want to look at. It's so good.
No, that's awesome.
So that's congrats great. On that.
Yeah. I had nothing to do with the UI, maybe very, very small amounts. So I'll let the design team know that. That's awesome.
One question. You're famous for a few things. One thing you're famous for, are the teardowns, and I'm going to link to some of your blog teardowns in the show notes. And the other one is the amazing research that you publish. So the question would be, where do you get materials for that research? Is that by aggregating the data from ProfitWell accounts, or do you have your own methods for that?
We focus on... it really comes from, to be frank, I'm kind of a stickler for like truth. It really annoys me, and this is like maybe a little too personal, but it really annoys me when like we're trying to solve a problem or we're trying to learn something and someone gives like anecdotes and someone is like very fluffy with their advice. And so it's not annoying. It's just like, it doesn't help me. And so I need to like a dog with a bone, I need to get to the bottom of something. And so that's where a lot of this research started coming from, because we just wanted to know like how things were working and what truth was. And so that's where, you know, we started doing a lot of this research and the pricing research. So we have a show called Pricing Page Teardown, where we basically take either one company or two companies and kind of compare their pricing, collect some data. And instead of just like talking generally about their pricing page, we actually tell them, hey, you're really good at this, you're terrible at this, this is where you could improve, those types of things. And it works out really, really well. I think that the other research comes from studying, we have about 25% of the entire subscription market using one or more of our products. And so that allows us to really understand what's going on and what's, you know, really one of those things, that contributes to subscription growth. And so that's really, really where it comes from. And frankly, I'm the only one doing all this research right now, which is a problem. So if there are any good data analysts out there who know SQL and Python and want to, you know, be more of a marketing analyst rather than, you know, someone, you know, internally, let me know, because I'm more than happy to get that off my plate, because it's one of those things that takes a lot of time because it's such a labor of love.
I watched one of your recent talks at FemtoConf, and I was fascinated that you actually possess the data about the overall size of our SaaS market. So before we dive into actual pricing, give us that number and how you know that.
Yeah, so it's not a very confident number, because, and this is something I've been talking to a couple of folks in the SaaS community and the subscription community, trying to figure out the answer to that question of, you know, how many subscription companies are there? Because the research, and this is, again, this is one of those things where like I'm relying on other people's data and it's not really that good of data and it's anecdotal. And so I'm trying to figure out like how many subscription companies exist. We do know that the median estimate is around 50,000 subscription companies in the world. And that really comes from, you know, kind of adding up what some of the billing systems say that they have, doing some estimates. But that number is probably soft, in terms of it's probably a bit higher than that. But what's kind of interesting about the market is it's, you know, there's certainly not, you know, millions of subscription businesses. You know, there's actually not that many. There's definitely, I would say there's definitely less than 200,000 and probably less than 100,000 in the market right now.
Oh, that's great to know where the data comes from as well. So now that we kind of learned where your research comes from, let's do a very high level episode of people who are not too familiar with the subscription models. And first, I would love to hear, so you've been out for a while and you've probably observed that switch of the market from one-off purchases towards subscriptions. So when that happened and how did those pricing models emerge over time?
Yeah, that's a 90 minute question. So I think, so here's the thing. I think that the subscription world, the thing that we don't appreciate and the things that we don't understand, like just in general, is that for the first time in history, we now have a business model where the relationship is built directly into how you make money. So what I mean by that is when you think about your business or you think about a grocery store, you look at that grocery store and that particular person needs to kind of have a good time and needs to make sure that you're happy, because when you buy that box of cereal, they're hoping that when that box of cereal runs out, that you come back. Now, the grocery store or the local store, like, they build relationships pretty well, but with a subscription, all of a sudden you have the actual relationship baked into their usage as well as how they're paying for the product. So you don't have to expect them or hope that they come back. They're definitely going to come back. And so your business is all about making sure that that relationship is really, really good and that you're providing that value consistently over time. And so when you think about that mental model, all of a sudden pricing, you can just take one step further and you have to think about, okay, am I providing consistent value on a monthly basis at the level that I'm charging? Because your price is the exchange rate on that value that you're providing. And if you are providing that value, that customer is going to keep sticking around. They're not going to churn. And if you're not, they're going to churn out and they're going to, you know, maybe be unhappy. And so when you start to think about pricing that way, you start to realize everything in your business, from your sales, your marketing, all the way down to your product team and your finance team, is used to drive a customer to a particular point of conversion for a subscription product or to justify the price or the product that you're offering them. And so what you need to do is you need to understand those customers. Who are those customer segments that you're targeting and bringing into your business? Who is going to be the most profitable? Who's going to be the most efficient? And you can essentially get to know those segments or those personas by researching them. So there's a lot of different ways that you can research them. We recommend using a couple of methodologies that we think are really, really efficient, meaning the amount of work you put into them, you get, you know, 10x the value back with those models. But what that allows you to do is once you start to understand that customer, then all the other details, they don't necessarily magically fall into place, but they certainly do start becoming clearer. So if we're targeting small teams and we're targeting, you know, these small teams across, you know, XYZ, you know, those particular teams, like, they probably don't want complicated pricing. So that starts to limit what I want and what I can use for my pricing. And if I understand those buyers, I can start to put my features into different packages. I can start to, you know, put a number of different things, you know, kind of across the board to make sure that I'm basically aligning my pricing to those personas. So I realize that everything I said was not super tactical. So if you want me to go tactical, I can. But the biggest thing to keep in mind is that it's this mental model of thinking about how those customers essentially roll through your business.
Great. So let's go tactical. Let's imagine a situation where one of our listeners wants to start their first SaaS business, and they have, let's say, three primary competitors, and their probably natural idea is to go to their pricing pages and explore and borrow and anchor to those pricing. While what you've been saying before is that they shouldn't really do that, but instead anchor to value. Is that correct? And if so, what are the practical methods?
Yeah, totally. So value, and I know it's a little ambiguous, right? Because everyone's like, yeah, do value. And then you're like, well, how do you measure that? What is that, right? So value really comes down to measuring what willingness to pay looks like, measuring preferences for features and things like that. And the reason you want to measure on value is because in the world of subscriptions, especially, your costs and your competitors are very much, they shouldn't be the primary data you're using to set your pricing. And the reason for that is the costs in a subscription business are typically very, very different than maybe a retail business, where most of the time your costs are far, far smaller than the value you're actually providing. You know, Salesforce.com, the average cost per user is, you know, low double digits, high single digits. The actual value that they're getting, or the price that they have, or their average price is, you know, triple digits, you know, over $100 per user. And what ends up happening is when you live in this world where your costs are so out of whack, if you start to anchor based on costs, you start to lose out on that value. And the thing you got to think about is your customers don't care about your costs. They care about their costs, right? And so you shouldn't be anchoring. And on the competitive basis, that you're assuming your competitors have done their homework, which is I guarantee you not the case, because most people aren't focusing on pricing. Most people aren't doing the customer research that they should be. But in addition to that, you're also assuming you're selling to the same customer, the same product, which is definitely not the case either. And so what we recommend doing, and it's a little bit hard to kind of illustrate on a podcast, but what we recommend doing is going out to those customers, and there's been plenty of written on qualitative customer development. So focusing on some of the qualitative customer development, you know, doing user interviews and things like that, but then making it quantitative by collecting data across the board from all types of different customer personas that you're targeting. And the type of data that you're collecting is, if you think about any pricing page, you have two axes of value. You have the x-axis, which is like the different features, the different packages that you're offering to those different users. And then you have the y-axis, which is essentially the actual price. And so there's two methodologies that we recommend. For the x-axis, there's something called max diff, where you can actually go out to people and you can say, hey, here are these features that we have, or these are the features we want to build. You know, what's the most important out of this list, and what's the least important out of this list? And then based on that, you can use that information in a way that basically, you know, supports the personas or the pricing that you're trying to go after. And on the y-axis for price, that's where you can use some methodologies where you ask ranged questions of your users. At what point is this way too expensive that you're not going to return my call? At what point is this a really good deal that you're going to sign up today? And that those two types of questions used in multiple different ways, and then across a really good crop of, you know, respondents, that starts to point you in a direction where you can understand how you can start making those pricing decisions on, hey, we should price here, we should price there, and how, you know, everything in between should be structured.
Mm-hmm. I think we used one of those methods with a user list when we surveyed our early users and asked them about specific features, whether they were important and how, on a scale of 0 to 3 for their business. And it really helped us to drive the initial primary direction for the products. I think that was after FemtaConf, I think, actually.
Yeah. And I would recommend, and I don't know exactly how you did it, but I would recommend not doing like scales, like you just mentioned, like 0 to 3, those types of things.
Uh-huh.
And the reason is because those particular companies or those particular respondents, they have no incentive to make a decision, right? So theoretically, I can just put 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3 for everything, right? What you want to do is you want to force them to make a decision. You want to say, you can't have everything. What is the most important? What is the least important? And the reason for that is because basically what you end up doing is you live in a world where you can start to just purely focus on exactly where you should be going with your pricing and where you should go. Because at the end of the day, everything that you're doing is all about understanding exactly where you should be going, rather than, hey, let's do everything.
That's great. That's a great approach. And when you're doing face-to-face interviews, be it, you know, Skype calls or something like that, how do you go about those sensitive questions? Because all those price-related questions are super hard to ask, like how much you would pay. Are you ready to pull out your card? Any hints and tips about dealing with that?
Yeah, so I don't think so. I would never ask someone, how much are you willing to pay? Because that's a really hard question for the human brain to answer. Mm-hmm. That's why you ask in ranged questions. But frankly, I think, you know, to be really blunt, you have to get over it. I think the thing is that you obviously aren't just going to like walk in, sit down and go, yeah, at what point is this way too expensive, right? Like, you're going to warm them up. You're going to talk to them. And even in a survey, you're going to be like, hey, listen, we're going to talk about pricing. I think the thing that we don't realize and we get kind of shy on as entrepreneurs is we think, oh my gosh, like, we're going to have to talk about pricing. We're going to have to talk about money. And we've been taught by our families, our friends, you know, you don't talk about politics, you don't talk about religion, you don't talk about money, right? In reality, especially if you're selling in B2B, and especially even if you're selling in B2C, people know that things cost money. Like, they know, and they'll be very, very honest with you if you're respectful, and then you basically ask in the right manner, and you'll get a lot of value out of it. I think probably the biggest problem that we have amongst entrepreneurs is we have these people who are willing to tell us everything. These people who are willing to tell us, you know, within reason, everything that they want. And those are the people paying us. And instead of going to them and talking to them, we always think we know better. And it's not to say that you're going to exactly do what those customers want. And that's why you're not asking, How much are you willing to pay for this? What do you want for the product? You're asking questions that try to understand where their problems are, where their value is, and where you know the scope of their problem is. But we always think we know better, or we're scared, or we're shy, or we're a whole host of things. And I think it's the biggest disservice in our industry, because people are more than willing to talk. They love to talk about themselves. And so we should take advantage of that.
Absolutely. We've been getting really comfortable doing that. We've done like a few dozen already. And the feeling is absolutely different from when we were doing like number one interview. So highly recommend it to everyone, even though it's pretty scary. So there is a common sentiment, and I think it is quite true, which is charge more. And I wonder, are there any situations where charging more would be detrimental to a business?
Yeah, I think the problem with charge more, and I don't think it's bad advice, because a lot of us, like, the thing is a lot of us just have never done our research. Like, we just have never even done a modicum of research. We just sat around a room and we're like, okay, yeah, let's just do $40. Let's just do $50. You know, like, that's not research. And a lot of times, there's what we found, at least, is there's about half the room that is too low and about half the room that's too high or not charging in the right direction. And normally it's a psychological thing. The people who are charging too low are the people I love, because they're just a little too, you know, they're a little too shy. They're a little too like insecure. And I empathize with that a lot. People who charge, you know, too much, they're typically a little more arrogant. You know, they're, you know, oh, my product is amazing. Why they should absolutely want to pay for that. And then the customer's like, I don't really see the value here. Right. And so I think that it's less about like go out and charge more, and it's more about, hey, like you should do a little bit of your research. I would always recommend like raising your price before you lower your price, just because I think it's better from a, you know, just kind of like a analysis standpoint. But yeah, long story short, I think that's it's not bad advice. It's just, you know, a little bit of it's very high level advice, and you should probably go a little bit deeper, if that makes sense.
Can you give us an overview of how the pricing tiers are based on metrics, and what kind of metrics we can have for that, you know, pricing based on some quantity of users, or price based on volume, or anything else? Just give us a global overview of those structures.
Yeah, so it depends on how you're structuring your pricing, right? So if you're using feature differentiation, then the features are going to matter. You're going to have to collect your data around what features should go where and those types of things, and how you should align those with different personas. If you're using a value metric, which is what I recommend using, which is where you're charging per user, per 100 visits, per 1,000 videos, per something, then those particular individuals, then you need to, you know, think about where those tiers should go. And normally what you end up doing, you know, you end up focusing in on, you know, doing a histogram analysis of those individuals, and then basically setting those tiers at the right levels for each of those personas as well. And so, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of stuff to go into. Again, it's a little bit hard, you know, talking about it on a podcast. You know, I feel like we should have whiteboards on podcasts, even if it's just still audio. but yeah, that's kind of what you have to think about. It kind of comes back to that data.
And let's imagine we have a pricing grid based on value, based on the value metric. But does it make sense to lock out some features for the first plan? Let's say, considering it's not free, of course. Or is the best philosophy to provide equal level of service to everyone, but just charge based on a metric?
So historically, when looking at the data for both churn growth and some other metrics around expansion revenue, the best pricing model is basically to charge based on a metric. And the reason is it should be intuitive, right? So if I've got my metric right, and I'm only paying for the amount of value that I'm getting along that metric, then theoretically, I'm not going to churn unless I just like go out of business. And as I use more of that metric, I'm going to pay more. And so like it's ideal, but a lot of us, you know, it's hard for our businesses to align towards a metric like that. And so we have to kind of take a step back, think about, you know, a better metric or how things should be structured, and kind of go from there.
Are there any SaaS examples out there that you particularly admire how they deal with pricing? Maybe they have some unusual pricing models, or they're doing their pricing just extremely well. Maybe we could link to some of your previous blog posts for those businesses.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Atlassian for a lot of reasons. I think they do their research really, really well. I think that they also are very focused on, you know, they're not trying to force anything. You know, if there's no value in something that they've built, like, you know, HipChat, they kind of unloaded HipChat like relatively quickly because they're like, hey, this isn't working. Let's not try to like force it into the market. I also think that, you know, companies like Wistia are really good. I think Wistia spends a lot of time changing their pricing model, and that the results actually show, in particular because they've, you know, been able to kind of scale things up and down appropriately. And so those are two that I'm a pretty big fan of. And I think that there's, you know, there's plenty though that are doing, you know, really great work on the pricing axes, which is awesome.
Could you share your sentiment on some of the popular free platforms such as YouTube, Twitter, etc., that are trying to monetize at this point when it's already pretty late? So what's your take? Are they doing right things, introducing subscriptions like YouTube does now? Or what would you do if you were in their place?
Yeah, I think a subscription makes a ton of sense. Look at what LinkedIn has done. LinkedIn has been extremely successful with subscriptions. And I think that LinkedIn is one of those, you know, companies that they do ad revenue, they do subscriptions, they have all types of, you know, axes for monetizing the platform. And so I think that a lot of companies, like if you think about the world of monetizing through advertising, you think about how much volume you need to be successful there. It's mind-boggling if you truly think about it. And so it's one of those things where, you know, it's a lot easier to kind of monetize through providing some sort of value through a subscription.
If you were to give some advice to those who are starting out, what would be, let's say, first three steps they need to undertake to be better at their pricing model?
I think there's really only two, and one is it's a little bit harder because I think a lot of people, they're going to be like, yeah, I've heard that before, and you don't want to do the work for it. And that really is kind of focus.
Research. Is that research?
Yeah, focus and understand your customer. It's like all the luminaries of Silicon Valley have been talking about, hey, focus on, you know, your customer, do your research. And they've been saying it for decades. And a lot of us are like, yeah, okay, we're going to do something else. And it's like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? And so that's what I would think about. The other more tactical one, but it still takes, you know, a little bit of work, is get your value metric right. If you get your value metric right, mostly everything else can be wrong and you'll be okay.
Are there any resources that you can recommend for further reading there? And you should probably start by announcing your own blog there.
Yeah, I mean, we publish a ton on pricing and a lot on just like subscriptions in general. And so that's something where I really, really recommend. There's a couple of other really good, I think the some that a lot of people, you know, Skok from Matrix does a lot of really, really good publishing. Some of his stuff is a little bit older, but it's still really good. And then Brad Coffey from HubSpot, he doesn't publish that often, but the stuff he publishes is really, really good. And so, yeah, I just kind of recommend checking those folks out. And then there's just, you know, there's a ton of content out there, but those are some deeper cuts that don't normally get a lot of mentions.
Any other links where people can find you and your company online?
Yeah, so just profitwell.com. That's where you can find us. Priceintelligently.com. A lot of stuff going on, and so a lot of content being published. But yeah, just let us know where we can help, what we can do. And I'm always able to answer any and all questions at pc@profitwell.com. Or you can connect with me on LinkedIn at Patrick Campbell.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us today. I hope those insights will help. And well, thanks again for joining us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a good rest of the day, and thanks for having me.
You too. Thanks.